Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming on this brilliant, wonderful day. I suppose it's dry, I suppose, nothing else, I suppose, but it's good to be here. If you have your Bible with you, would you like to turn to Psalm 139, please? Psalm 139. And we will read the whole psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What an amazing psalm that is, probably my favourite psalm. And as we come to the end of another year, last Sunday of this year, next Sunday will be the first Sunday of next year. Fairly obvious, isn't it, you know. I just wanted to bring this word to you this morning. I don't know how you have come here this morning. If you come here, you know, feeling good, or, you know, looking back over the last year, has it been for some, it may have been a very good year. For others, it may have been a pretty rubbish year. But, you know, this psalm, hopefully, as we look, perhaps look back, and as we look forward, and we can just see God, how he knows everything about us. Do you realise that? This psalm covers virtually everything in our lives. And it's just an amazing psalm. So hopefully, however you come here this morning, if you're feeling good or bad or whatever, that you're going to go out encouraged, because our God knows everything about us. Our God is in control of everything that we say, think and do. I was at a pantomime last night. I think my voice is okay. And I'm one of those when I get in. I always get the front row, right in the centre. Do all the shouting, screaming and bawling, you know, any sweets being thrown, we're the first ones to pick it up. And I had to think to myself last night, I'm preaching tomorrow, I've got to be a little bit careful what I say last night, so I had to hold back a little bit to what I would normally be, but I think I'm okay, I think I'll be okay. But as I say, this is an amazing psalm, and as I'm speaking now, you're perhaps going through your mind, what's happened this past year? You know, for some, you know, there's been good things, others may not be such good things. For Jan and myself, it's been a good year. We've had, I can't never remember your name. Bessie. Yes. We just come up to 8 years of being retired. And it's been eight brilliant years. So if you've still got to work, basically tough, we've got that point. We've finished our work now. But 8 years we've been doing great stuff, been a pastor at a church for 4 years, doing pastoral church at Reigate Baptist Church, one of the pastors there, lots of preaching. And, these last 8 years have been so, so good. I thought when I first became, when I first retired, people said to me, what are you going to do? I said, yeah, I'm going to put my feet up, take it easy, do this, that, and whatever. And, in 8 years, I can honestly say we've not had one day when we've been bored. Every day there's been something to do. It's been good things. It's doing stuff for God. It's just been an incredible 8 years. And as I say, this psalm is so special to me. I just love it so much. And I just want to encourage you this morning as you look back and as we start a new year next week, what has God got in store for us? We don't know. Why do people want to go to palm readers and fortune tellers and all this rubbish? Why would you want to go to them to know what your future is going to hold? Just leave it with God. God has his hand upon each and every one of us. We don't have to go to this other stuff. Take day by day by day. And God will guide and God will lead and God will bless us and use us. And even in the good and even in the bad times, God will be there with us. We are never, ever alone. And this psalm really breaks up into four very good bits. The first six verses talks about the all-knowing God. The next six verses talk all about the all-present God. And then the next six verses talks about the all-creating God. And the last six about the all-holy God. So just to encourage us this morning, wherever we may be, it says, going through these verses, it said, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. See, our God knows about the most simplest, the most mundane things in our lives, things that we do automatically without thinking about. God knows those things, when we get up, when we sit down. He said he perceives my thoughts from afar. And some of our thoughts are perhaps not always too good, are they? How often do we have bad thoughts against somebody? Someone's upset us, annoyed us, whatever it may be. Someone's cut us up in a car. Or if I see a Tottenham fan and being an Arsenal fan, and Arsenal, they just beat an Arsenal, I have to try and be calm and be nice to them, be Christian to them. Yeah, do that. We do that. but our thoughts sometimes can be pretty bad, pretty bad things. But God knows even our thoughts, the things. So before we engage thoughts, we engage brain, as it were, because God knows our very thoughts. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. How often have we been in here on a Sunday morning, or wherever we may be, or in our quiet times? With our tongues, we worship God, we glorified him, we said amazing things, we worshipped and praised God. And then the next thing, we can rubbish somebody. It's so easy to say something about another person. And we have to be so careful what we think. Oh, bless you, thank you. Yeah, as I say, it wasn't just the shouting and bawling last night, but about 3 days ago I had a pretty rubbish cold as well, and I had nearly lost my voice. My wife said, that was nice and quiet for a few days, but I've got to make up for that now. but even everything about us, God knows about what we say. Let's be careful what we talk about each other. You are brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. May your words to each other be good, encouraging and uplifting. It could be so easy to say something about somebody else in this church and rubbish them. Things quite often stick, don't they? We say something about somebody or something not so good, and people remember those things. Think, engage brain before we engage tongue. So let's say good, healthy, loving words to each other, because, one day we can spend eternity in heaven. know, that's going to be a long, long time. So let's start to enjoy each other now and enjoy each other's company and just get on with each other at this moment. It says, you hem me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And you know, God's hand has been upon us. And as we look apart this past year, you know, I mean, some of us, you know, some of us have had some perhaps not such good things. But overall, you know, God has been good. You know, God blesses us in so many ways. So often we think about the negative, the rubbish stuff, but then we forget about the amazing, wonderful things that God has done in our lives. Now, let's be a positive thinking people. Sometimes I find that Christians can really get up my nose. You know, they should be the people that should encourage me and bless me most. And sometimes you hear stuff from Christians, you think, oh, just get a life, put your trust in Jesus, just trust in him more. I get so much rubbish from non-Christians so often, from Christians so often. You know, let's be a positive thinking people and let's just bless each other. When was the last time you, you know each other, what you do in the churches here, for people that do jobs in the church, who lead worship, who look after young people, serve the teas, whatever it may be. When was the last time you actually went up to them and said, thank you for what you do. God bless you for that. May God bless you in all that you do. Just encourage. It doesn't take a few seconds to say something to encourage. Let's be a people that bless each other to encourage. And it's good. Don't we want to be encouraged? I want to be encouraged. You know, the things that I do back at Reigate, you know, I do a lot of pastoral work, visiting a lot of people with lots of different needs. And sometimes I can come away from meeting people quite drained, actually, just listening to their problems. But that's what I feel God's called me to do, and I enjoy doing that, and I try to bless and encourage the people that I meet. You know, and it's good when someone said to me, well, thanks for coming round today. That's really just helped me. That's just encouraged me. So I wanted to hear that. Hope as I bless them, they've also encouraged and blessed me as well in all that I've done. So our God is an all-knowing God. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you. And then we go into the next six verses. It talks about the all-present God. And it said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. You know, it doesn't matter where we go. There is nowhere that we can go on this earth where God is not with us. We know the word of God says in a number of places, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you believe that? As you go about your daily work, whatever it is that, you know, sometimes life sometimes can be a bit of a grind, and you think, oh, Lord, I'm on my own. But God is always there. Whatever problems or situations will come our way in the coming year, God will be there with us. It's a promise. It's not because I'm saying it. The Word of God says it. From Genesis right through to Revelation, every word is 100% true. Let's believe what the Word of God says. Don't let's try to dissect it and think, well, I think I believe in that bit. I'm not sure about that bit. You know, the whole Bible is God's Word. Let's read it and understand it as much as we can and put it into action. Where can I go from your spirit? Well, I can't, you know, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. Now, do you remember the name called Yuri Gagarin? Who was he? Thank you. The very first man to go into space. Now, this happened before I became a Christian. Now, I didn't really believe the Bible, but I remember him going up into space for a short time, and he came down, and I remember him saying, there's no God. I've been up into the heavens, I've been there, and I can't see him. There is no God. What a propaganda thing that was. And I wasn't a Christian, and I thought, oh, really? You know, and I just sort of let it go, wasn't too sure. Of course, since I've become a Christian, obviously I've had different thoughts. But, you know, even, you know, he said there was no God. But then there's been a lot of Americans, astronauts, have gone up. Buzz Aldrin, perhaps one that I can think of most. But, and he went up into space, and he was one that went round the moon. And he actually took bread and wine into space with him. and he actually took, they actually had communion in space. And as he went round the far side of the moon, obviously he couldn't see the Earth at all, and he could see right out into all the dark space, and he could see the wonders of creation. Who put that there? God put that there. It didn't happen by chance, by a fluke. It happened because God put everything there in its places. But he was up there, and he, although he couldn't see the earth, but he knew God existed. And he couldn't, even though he went up there, he couldn't get away from God's presence. God was there with him. And I just think that's quite an amazing fact that, you know, wherever we go this coming week, this coming year, whatever trials, tribulations, whatever happens, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hold on to that promise. Believe that promise, that when good or bad comes in the new year, you know God is going to be there in all those situations. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. What about Jonah when he got eaten by that big fish? You know, you can imagine that. You know, 3 days in a fish's stomach. Often they talk about now, don't they, when they find a big shark or something and they cut it open and see what's inside, and they see pretty awful stuff inside. And, you know, so it, to be inside of a big fish, whatever it may have been, it must have been a pretty grotesque sort of thing to be in and to hear and to see what was going on there. But even when he was in the depths of that, or in the belly of that big fish, he knew God's presence with him. And then, of course, God got him to throw up that Jonah out onto the beach. But even in that particular time, God was there with Jonah because he knew the promise of God. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Now, many years ago, I haven't done it for a number of years now, I used to go into prison as a visitor, may I say, not as a convict or whatever, but I used to go in with a prison fellowship, wasn't it? I'm trying to think what it, prison fellowship, and a number of people that I haven't really seen much of since then, but I used to go in quite regularly to Maidstone Prison, and there was the chaplain at Maidstone Prison was an evangelical Anglican minister, brilliant man. I can't think what his name is at the moment now, but Jim? Gin, that's right, Eddie Gin, that's why, that's the name from the past. But he loved Jesus with every part of his life. And he would go in and, in the prison there, they had a big swimming pool. And one Sunday we went there and there were 6 people baptized, full immersion, baptized. God had just touched the hearts and lives of these people. And they got dunked, and as they come up, they were just praising God. It was just an amazing thing to see that these people, God had touched these people in prison. And I know some people say, well, yeah, they put on an act, they try and be good, and they get out of prison. Yeah, that may be true to a point, I don't know. But these people had been truly touched by God. And also, Eddie would get people to come in, and there would be days where they would have a day where they would get people to come in and speak and do different things. And people who were criminals or had been criminals themselves, and then they got saved, and now they were being used by God to do amazing things. And I can just remember once, there was one day, there was this chap, they laid him down on the floor, and they put a big paving slab on him. And then somebody else came along with a big 14-pound sledgehammer and smashed it. This paving slab just went into millions of bits and fell all over the place. And he was just trying to say how God can just come in and smash away the rubbish that's in our lives. And then somebody else came in and he got this 6-inch nail and he stuck it in his nose. Goodness knows where it all went. It all went into his nose, but whatever it was. But it was just, I suppose to a point it was illusion, I don't know. But he put the gospel over in this. And a lot of people would come to that because the whole day was spent in the chapel. Once you was in, you couldn't get out. You was in for the day. But you got good food, lovely food. You know, some of the food that was there normally was not very good. But on this one day, they had good food. And people go just for the food. But the thing is, they went in, they heard the gospel, and many got gloriously saved. And so even in the depths of the prison, God was doing great things. Although it was darkness there, and the people I used to go and visit on a regular basis were people that was on Rule 43. They were the paedophiles, the sex maniacs, criminals, and whatever. They were really, even the murderers looked down on those sort of people. But God was coming in amongst those people and doing amazing things. So in that darkness, light, the light of Jesus came into that place. And many people got gloriously, gloriously saved. And I'm sure now that they have come out and they've gone on and done other amazing things. So wherever we go, when we look around, just where we live in Wood Hatch there, quite often there's little bunches of people. You think, what's going on there? They're dealing drugs. They're dealing drugs. The other day we was walking down the road near us and saw this car pull up. Somebody ran over there, window open, in and out, got some drugs, gave it to his mates. You know, and you think, hey, hang on, this is my territory, this is where I live. And all these things are going on. You know, real darkness. But, you know, God, when I see that and I think God is still alive, God is still doing amazing things, because Reigate Baptist Church started with 40 people. We're up to 400 plus now on a Sunday. And if you see the church, it's really, really new. We've got new plans going up now to try and make it bigger, because we've outgrown it to a point now. Just amazing. God is in our area. People got a passion to see Jesus preached and proclaimed. And people in our area are coming to faith. In the darkness that we see around us, God is at work doing amazing things. Now, I'm sure that's nothing like that at Bersham. This is an amazing, wonderful place. There's no crime and it's amazing. Perhaps I'm not quite got it right there, I suspect. But whatever's happening at down in Wood Hatch is probably happening in this area. You are the light. You are the people that shine in the darkness. You know, when you get those opportunities to talk to somebody, take those opportunities. We might think, well, that was a waste of time, but we don't know. God can use anything that we say. If you've got family, friends, neighbours, when you get that opportunity, not to ram things perhaps down people's throats, but just to say something about Jesus and say, Lord, I've done my bit, it's up to you now, you speak. You do whatever you need to do in the hearts and lives of people around us. There is so much darkness, but we are the light of the world. Jesus was the light. We love him. His light shines in and through us, and he can touch and will touch many hearts and lives. Isn't that exciting? Yeah? I just want to put, okay. But I just find it exciting that our God is alive. That he isn't dead, that he died, that he rose again. And that our God reigns in us, and he reigns in wherever we go. You know, we don't do anything in our own strength. We do everything through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That the same, as it says in Romans, that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from death lives in us. That's exciting, isn't it? You know, that same Holy Spirit, as it raised Jesus from dead, he's in us, and he's the one that's working in and through us as we go through our lives. I find that just so amazing. So think of these things as we go into another new coming year. So we have the all-present God. And then we have the next six verses talks about the all-creating God. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Pastor Mike, our pastor at church, had a little boy, yeah, about 8-9 days ago now. I don't know if you know Mike Williams. Yeah, Mike Williams, don't you? Yeah. And he had a lovely little boy. So he's got two girls and a boy now. And you know, he was talking about, you know, about having the baby. And he's on a month's leave now, so we're making sure that he doesn't get interrupted, that everyone abides by this, and he has a complete month off with his wife and family. But you know, that little baby, and if we have children ourselves, Now, from the moment of conception, at that very, very moment when a baby is formed, God knows everything about us. And I just find that absolutely brilliant that, you know, there's things, I mean, I've been married to my wife now for 47 years. And, you know, there's things that I'm sure I don't know about her after 47 years, but God does. You know, he knows more about her than I do, and likewise with myself. I mean, I'm such an amazing, wonderful person, aren't I? You know, and, you know, but you know, but God knows everything. And even in that smallest point, that moment of conception, when we think that God doesn't know anything about us, God does know about us. He knows everything. He said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Our bodies, yes, as we get a bit older, our bodies are deteriorating and not doing what they used to do, perhaps 5, 10, 15 years or whatever it may be. But you know, our bodies are amazing things. You know, if you ever look at, see some of these programs about the, you know, about medical things, about what our bodies are like. You know, our eyes are just an amazing thing. You look at our eye, you know, under normal convention, you think it shouldn't happen. But, you know, you shouldn't see. But God has designed us in such an amazing way that our eyes are just an amazing thing. Did you know about my healing 3 years ago? I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I had 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a macular hole. Do you know what that is? If you look at the back of your eye, if you look at it in a picture, it's, you know, it's a complete round bit. And there was a little slit right in the corner of the back hole. And they said, well, if it's going to heal itself, it's going to heal itself within the first 3 months of you actually having a macular hole. And if it didn't get healed, then it could come quite bad and you could perhaps go blind in that eye, whatever. So being me, I go to quite a few churches to preach, and I got them to preach. I got my own church to preach. And cutting the long story short, after about 18 months, I had an appointment to go to the hospital to have my appointment. And I had an appointment on that Sunday morning, and on the Monday morning, sorry. And I know people was praying for me, and we have the Daily Mail, and on a Monday morning, it has a word of scripture in it, a little bit where the letters are. That morning, it said, Jesus Christ heals you. Oh, who's that for? Duh. Could that not be me? And I thought, well, I don't know. Anyway, so go and see the doctor. He looks at me, he said, I want you to go over the other side and have a scan on your eye. Let's just check it out. So I go over the other side of the hospital. I come back with the photograph, and there was this big photograph. The doctor took it out, and he says, you've got no hole. It's completely healed itself. And I was just jumping because the thought of having my eye taken out and doing what that's going to do and put like gas in it and blow it up. And, oh, no, I didn't want that. Really didn't fancy that at all. But, you know, but God, through his people, healed me. At 8 o'clock at the time of my appointment, people were down in Devon were praying for me. And I believe at 8 o'clock that God healed my eye. And when I look at that eye, when I see how my eye works, I'm just so thankful to God that he healed my eye. Just totally amazing. And this time last year, I went to the hospital to have doctors to have my ears syringed. And when they looked at it, they thought, oh, you've got a hole in your eardrum. Oh, another hole. Good grief. Here we go again. So anyway, so Mike and myself went to pray for some other people, actually. And that particular day, they said, well, let's pray for Barry in his ear. So they laid hands on me, put a hand over my ear, prayed for me. About 3 days later, I go back to the doctors, looked in my ear and said, got no hole in your eardrum. It's completely healed. Don't want to see you no more. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Isn't that amazing? God is healed. He's actually healed me. But again, you look at your ear. It is so intricate, the way the ear works. But God deigned it the way it is. He's the one that made it as it is. And he's the one that can heal it as it is. I know not everybody gets healed, and that's a funny, you know, can be a funny subject at times where we go on that. But for some, he does heal. But at the end of the day, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he's the God that's going to be with us as we've been through this year and as we go into a new year. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. You know, we don't know how long we're going to live for, but it says that our names are written in the book. God knows exact hour, minute, second when we're going to die. I mean, I've got no rush to die. I'm enjoying life at the moment. But God knows. You know, he might say one day, Barry, I'm taking you home. He's going to take me home at that particular time when he wants me home. I don't know. But the thing, God knows. We don't have to go to all this other rubbish and soothsayers and whatever it is. We don't have to. We can just leave it in God's hand. God says, I know about you. I know from the moment of conception, I know to the moment you leave this earth and what God wants us to do in between that one point to the other. You know, God knows everything about us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. You know, I've got my diary. I always get a new diary in September. And by the end of September, it's nearly filled up, ready for the following year. And I've got everything planned, what I think I'm going to be doing. But, you know, and then some of those things don't happen because of whatever reasons. But God knows every planned second of this year and every planned second of next year. God knows everything about us. So as we go into next year, we can say, Lord, I just leave my life with you. Yeah, I still got to do my bit. I still got to do whatever it is I've got to do. But God knows every second of my life. And I can just leave it totally with him. Isn't that amazing that we can do that? That our God is there. You know, what an amazing God it is. And how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know, God's thoughts is so precious. You know, let us know what try to find out what the thoughts of God are. You know, by seeing what he wants us to do, by reading the Word of God. Does the Word of God just, well, I know we talk about Bibles these days. Of course, a lot of people have got mobiles or apps or whatever it is, you know. But whatever it is, whatever form we have of the Bible, that we read it day by day. Lord, what are you saying to me today? What do you want me to do? Where are you leading me? What's your purpose for my life? Read the Word of God to know what he's saying, to get his thoughts, to get his leading, to get to know what he has for us in the coming years. Isn't it amazing that God speaks? You know, so many people say, well, God is dead. There's, you know, if he was alive, he's dead. Rubbish. God is alive. God speaks to me, and if as Christians, if we're seeking God and seeing what he wants to say to us, he will speak. It's just us having to be quiet at times, to be still, and just to let God speak into us. So often we pray, say, Lord, lead me, show me what you want me to do. And the next minute we get up, we're so busy doing things that God's saying, calm down, listen, be quiet in my presence. Let me just speak to you. Let us give God the chance to say what he wants to say to us, whatever it may be. I remember when I became a prison visitor, the last thing I wanted to do to be a prison visitor, far as I was concerned, what they should do is lock these people up, throw the key away. That's what I thought. Not very Christian, I must be honest. But that was my thoughts at that time. But then God showed me in amazing ways, how, just through scripture, through what people said, through people that I've met, and it just became so abundantly clear that I needed to be a prison visitor. And the highlight of my week was on a Monday night going into prison. That was the main night. I'd leave work at the water company in Red Hill where I worked, go down to Maidstone Prison and visit my prison that I was going to visit. And that was just like a highlight of my week. And because I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do, it was just an amazing... I mean, I was meeting some of the most awful people in my... You know, that was walking this earth. And as I was... And I was allowed to go in and I was allowed to walk right through the prison to the cell where the man was who I was visiting. And I thought... I mean, I'd never actually really thought it, but really, if I think about it now, you know, I could have been attacked. Any manner of things could have happened to me. Really could have been. But I never once felt threatened. I felt God had called me to do that work, and he was going to protect me whatever happened. I'll go in, meet with people, and have some really fantastic times, because I knew I was in the center of God's will, where he was leading me, where he was showing me what he wanted me to do. And then all of a sudden he pulled me out of that. Then I became a pastor at 65 in a church for 4 years, and then he pulled me out of that, and now I'm back into Reigate where I was before. Doing things, just doing things for God. Whatever our age is, you know, God can use us and do mighty things through us. So exciting. I get so excited about Jesus. Why not? When you think what he's done, what he means to each and every one of us. So our God is going to be there. Let's get into the Word of God. And then just very quickly, at the very end of it, it says, verse 20 said, they speak of you with evil intent, and your adversaries misuse your name. When was the last time you heard some kiddie or somebody say, oh, Jesus Christ is a swear word? Do you hear everywhere, don't you? You hear it on the television, you go outside, Jesus Christ is just another swear word. And, you know, about you, for me, that just grinds my stomach. I just hear they're talking about the person that I love, the person that's died for me. You know, we so often hear people misuse the name of Jesus. Oh, let's be a people. It's not always easy, you know, and I know where it's coming from, but, you know, when we hear people say something about or swear or use Jesus as a swear word, that we actually say something. When I was working back at the water company, I was worked in the stores there, and we was open as a shop. And one day some chap came in and said something. And he said, oh, Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, do you know him? I said, I know him as my saviour. What an amazing person. He actually died for me on the cross. And I said like that. Oh, sorry, mate. I didn't mean that. He said, you know, and he, you know, you see his face go red. And I didn't try to look, make him look silly, but I just said to him who Jesus was to me. And it was just so good because, but so often we hear people, and I just think we need sometimes to stand up. Because if we love Jesus with every part of our being, if we know what he's done for us, I think we just need to just say, please don't say that. It's a name that I love, I revere, and who's my Lord and Saviour. And I think we need to do that. But again, there's ways of doing it, of course. So, you know, we need to be a little bit careful where we come with that. And then the last few two verses says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. God knows our hearts. He knows where we are, what our problems, what our situations and our needs are. And he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Yes, we all have, I'm sure, anxious thoughts. But Lord, you know, we can say, you know, I know this coming week or this year, things could be happening. I'm going to be anxious. You know my thoughts, but I give them to you now. Just be with me. Just lead me in those situations and in everything that I do. And it says, and see if there is any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. And the last bit is to, I want to be led in the way everlasting. I want to know what Jesus' will is for me as a Christian. Lord, just lead me. Just show me your way. Help me to read your word. Help me to be a person of prayer. Help me as a body of your people, that God, through your people, you might just lead me and you might just guide me and just show me the things that you want me to do in this coming year. You know, what an exciting life. This is an amazing psalm. And as you look back in the next couple of days over what's happened in this past year, we can look back and let's be positive on the good things that what God has done in us and through us. But we start a new year, a new beginning. And let's, as we start a new year, say, Lord, I give you every part of my life, every thought, word, and deed. May I do everything that pleases you. May I do everything that you want me to do. May I live a life that glorifies your name. And my prayer is that for each one of us, as we come to the end of this year, we can look back and say, Lord Jesus, I hope that you have been glorified in my life. Look, times I got it wrong, times I've said and thought and done things, but we're sinners, we make mistakes, but God forgives us of our sins, doesn't he? And we can just say, Lord, may your name have been glorified in my life this year. May it also be glorified even more in the coming year. May it be for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.